Please stand with us as we begin our worship time together.
Good morning and welcome to worship today at Elam Church. We're glad that you've joined us in the midst of I wouldn't call it a snowstorm, but it's plenty of snow and plenty of ice out there. We're thankful that you've come today. Make sure as you drive home today that you are careful and go slow on the roads. We want to continue to pray for folks that often are not here, that sometimes are here. Last week, we had the Ford family and Jeff Alvord here with us. Anya is still at home recovering. Remember infant Sophie Dahl in your prayers as well. Holly Swanson continues to receive comatose stimulation as she is in the hospital for West Nile virus. Usually when a person gets West Nile, they're able to recover in 3 or 4 days. But Holly had other complications and now is really facing an uphill battle. So please continue to remember those who are also affected in recent natural disasters as we pray for those that have lost their homes. They're finding their way back to the rubble and to the ruins of what was once their home. Please pray for our church as we enter into this Advent season. This is a time of quieting our hearts, time of waiting on the Lord, a time when we wait for that day, Christmas, when the Christ child comes and appears to us in our hearts and in our lives and to us as a church. I pray that the next 4 weeks of this Advent season and the services and all of the activities that are listed there in your bulletin that you'll attend, that you'll come, that you'll invite your friends, invite your neighbors to be a part of this very special season here at Elam. As you can tell, we've done some decorating. We had a smaller than normal crew, but still a very hearty crew. I'd like to say thanks to the Hill family for getting started on it early and got a lot done in a short amount of time. So thank you to all those who came and decorated. It looks beautiful, and it's wonderful to walk in to the sanctuary in the Christmas season when it looks like it does today. So thank you. Can we give a hand to all those who helped do that, decorate? I'd like to invite up Deb Somedy, our minister to children, as well as Jill Jazerski and Michelle Espelin. And Michelle is our director of preschool. Jill is the chair of the board and on our leadership team. And we had a very special offering going on over the last month, and they're going to share about that with you now.
Hi.
Hi.
It is such a privilege to give you this box of hopefully 44 $25 gift cards, which equals $1,100. So
wow.
All thanks to God. But we're so blessed to have Michelle here today. And I have a scripture I wanted to read. And this scripture kind of says it all as far as why we get to be a partner to you. We are so thankful that God entrusted Elam Preschool to our church many years ago. And we're so thankful that God sent you to lead it. And so I'm reading from John, and it says here, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. So, Michelle, we know that every day you wash the feet of the families and the children who come to Elam Preschool in the way that you serve them, and the way that you love them, and the way that you help them, and the way that you point them to Jesus. And so today we want you to know that we love you, and we love Elam Preschool, and we are so thankful that these families are going to feel the love of Jesus at Christmas time. And Jill's going to pray over these cards.
Thank you. I don't know what else to say right now. Thank you for all your kindness, all of you, every day to the preschool. These special gifts from these Elam angels, all of you, will be such a gift for so many. We have a population this year of 89 children, and over half of them have a need. Their families come to us from all over the cities, which is amazing to me, to come to this little preschool, which hopefully all of you know started in 1961. So it's just an amazing place for me to be on a daily basis. I want to tell you just a quick little story. Moms and dads come to me often, sometimes with just something to say. Sometimes they need a longer amount of time in my office. Sometimes they just need a quick little friendly hello or a hug. This mama came to me one day this past week to chat about her little guy, who is one of the children, sorry about that, that I absolutely adore, along with other 88. She just purchased a pair of tennis shoes for her little boy for $80. He has to wear these type of tennis shoes for $80 because he has braces on his legs, and the braces cut into his shoes. So about 6 or 7 times a year, she has to buy a special pair of tennis shoes that cost over $80 for him. The shoes get ripped apart really fast with these braces on his legs. You don't know they're there. This kid is vibrant, and he is happy. And he's all over the place with love for all of us. He needs these things to help him learn to walk better. She had to replace them not too long ago, and it kind of made her sad because it was around Christmas time. And as we all know, money gets a little tight this time of year because we want everyone to be happy, to receive something that they maybe weren't able to get during the school year. Wow, here's my thoughts. Single mom, another little one at home. We all have a journey. We just don't know everyone's journey. I am grateful for all of you, and I know they will be too. Thank you from the bottom of my heart and from all of theirs.
She is the right person for the job. Thank you, Jesus. Let us all pray together, can we? Father, we are so overwhelmed with gratitude for the gift of Elam Preschool, and we welcome the opportunity to love these precious children and their families, and are honored to be able to pray for them today. Grant an abundance of your wisdom as Michelle and her staff use the tools and knowledge with which you have gifted them to make a difference in their lives. As Michelle delivers these gift cards to families that have need, may we be reminded that you are involved in the delivery of your love, that we are all involved in the delivery of your love and faithfulness through the gifts that we give for your glory. We also praise you for the love and faithfulness for our own Elam kids. We thank you for your protection and care over our families. Thank you for giving Deb and her teachers the power to love and the wisdom to lead and teach them well. We know you fight for our families every day. You are Redeemer, Restorer, and Friend, and we believe you have good in store. Please fill our families with your truth and cover them with your favor. We thank this. Thank you, precious Savior and Lord. Amen.
Please stand with us once again.
You gave up a throne for a manger, traded a crown for a cross, laid down your life for a stranger and for all who are broken and lost. You came down from the heavens so we would know how deep, how high, how long, and how wide, and how far darkest of places, walked down the loneliest roads. You looked into lost, empty faces and told us we're never alone. You came down from the heavens so we would know how deep, how high, how
The scripture reading is from Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 14 through 16. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. in those days and at a time at that time I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior.
Today, we light the candle of expectation and hope. May it remind each and every one of us of God's... Not that one. Light the blue one. Can you tell we're getting married in 4 weeks? May it remind each and every one of us of God's great promise to us. He is our hope, he is our redeemer, and he is our savior. Please pray with us. Father, during the Advent season, may we be reminded of your promises to us and your fulfillment of them. Help us to prepare our lives for his advent with us. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
At this time, we invite the ushers forward to receive our offering.
Come Emmanuel and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice.
Sing with us.
Oh, come thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and
fortress is our God. A sacred refuge is your name. Your kingdom is unshakable.
Time you can be seated, and the children can come forward to right here for the children's sermon.
Hi, kids. How you doing? It's been a little while since I've seen you up here. How was your summer? Well, I want to tell you a story. It's good. I want to tell you a story about when I was a kid during the summer times. My dad and I, my brothers and my whole family, we would go out and we would cut wood for the winter time. And when we would cut wood for the wintertime because the wintertime in Minnesota is very, very cold. You guys know that, right?
Yeah.
So, I just took off my shoes. You noticed that, didn't you? So, in the wintertime, when we would come in from playing outside, we had a big wood stove in our basement, and it heated our whole house. And so what I would do is I would take my socks off like this. Took my socks out. Oh, that one has a hole in it. That's okay, though. But it kept my feet warm, right? And I would put the sock on top of the wood stove, and guess what it would do? It would go, psss, and it would heat this big metal wood stove. Well, you know, a lot of people, way back in the day, used to take their long johns and their clothes from being outside, and they used to hang it right next to their mantle like this, because then it would get dry, and it would get warm. Do you know what one of the best feelings in the whole world is? After the night, you take your sock and you put it back on your foot, and it's so nice and warm. Have you ever done that before? Doesn't that feel good? Well, I brought some more socks with me here today. Yeah, here's a sock. Here, you just hold on to that for me. Here's a different looking kind of sock. Here, you hold that. Oh, this one's short, kind of short. How about that? There you go. Oh, wow. Here's a gray one. I got so many different kinds of socks out here. And this is an actual laundry basket, by the way. Oh, look at this one. Look at that. Okay, so if you just look at a sock, it's not very useful just by itself, is it? You have to do something with the sock, right? You have to fill it. So maybe you could put your hand in it and make a puppet. Oh, that's kind of wet. Oh, you can make a scarf with it. There you go. See, socks aren't very useful unless they're filled, right? So a long time ago, when people would hang their mantles, their socks by the mantle, they would get them nice and warm, and they'd put them back on and get ready for the day. But when Christmas would roll around, somebody came up with the idea of putting something inside the sock on Christmas Day. Something went inside the sock, and it reminded the people that before Jesus came, their lives were empty. Before Jesus came, before the gift of Christmas came, their life was just like an empty sock. And so they decided to put this up here, and on Christmas Day, the stocking will be full. Now, I have this fancy one. So later on, people started making fancy-looking ones. But really, this tradition started with stuff like this, hanging on the people's mantles to make it warm for the day. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
So let me show you. Let me show you what hope looks like, okay? Hope looks like us putting our sock. There. Hope looks like that. Because what we hope for when we put our sock on the mantle is that eventually it's going to get filled, right? That's what hope looks like. That's what expectation looks like. The Bible talks about faith, hope, and love as one of the three things that will remain. Faith, hope, and love. This is what hope looks like. All right. Well, it's time for us to go. Why don't you all put your sock on top of the mantle so it can get nice and warm? And we'll see you next week, okay?
Yay.
All right. Give the kids a hand. Got to tie my shoe now. Whoop. I don't want to trip when I do my sermon. So each and every week we're going to have a mini lesson from this is our fake living room here, but each week we're going to add something new to the living room. And I hope that you can take these lessons home to your kids. You can infuse them with scripture. You can bring about a lesson and a message about everything that you have in your living room. It's important during Christmas to be intentional, right? And maybe if you don't have a nice living room, or if you don't even have a living room, you can still be intentional. You could still tell the Christmas story. How many people here have socks? You can tell. Maybe your sock looks like mine. Okay? So you can be intentional with whatever it is that you have available to you. We're going to read. We're going to move from the book of John, where we were the last several weeks, to the book of Luke. So it's fun to be able to get into the Gospels this way. And we're going to take a look. We were just talking about John the Baptist last week, and we're going to take a look today at the story of the parents of John the Baptist, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Before we get going, I just wanted to make one more announcement. On December 30th, we're going to have a baby blessing and a dedication. If you are interested in having your child dedicated and blessed. December 30th is our blessing service, but we're going to take a special time during that time to acknowledge that our children are gifts from God. We're going to recognize as parents that we need help, God's wisdom in raising our children, and that we as parents and we as congregation will acknowledge in that moment before all who are assembled that we are to be an example for those children. So that will happen. If you're interested in doing that, email Pastor Becky at elamchurch.com and we'll get you signed up for that. That's December 30th. That's our blessing service. And we're gonna really have a wonderful day blessing and dedicating our lives to the Lord. So Luke chapter 1 is where we're headed. So turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. And for this month of Advent, we'll largely be in Luke. We'll use Matthew as well, but we're going to largely use Luke. And Luke, it says in the very first verse, has written an orderly account to show the things that have been fulfilled in the life and ministry of Christ. Luke writes to Theophilus, the God lover, the person who loves God. Luke has written an orderly account, account that is theological, account that is also made up of the very best history that he could compile about the life of Jesus. And so we read starting at verse 5. Let's all read and listen and follow along. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both well advanced in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Let's pray. God, we thank you for this story. The story that sets up the story. The story that points to the story of you. The story which describes the arrival prior to the arrival. Lord, a story that challenges us, that teaches us about faith, hope, and love. Be with us now as we look deeper into your word. In your name we pray, amen. So Advent is a word that comes from Latin, and it means to arrive or to approach, to come forth or to show up. Advent is the arrival of unexpected, remarkable, miraculous, and wonderful things in our lives. And I've added, go back, adventures. So, and I'm saying Advent is something that's full of adventure. When we read this story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, we can't help but be taken on a wild adventure. I do believe that Advent is an adventure, a harrowing tale of risk, discovery, danger, and woe. Advent is, I do believe, as our lives as followers of Jesus, full of adventure, where we discover our world and we discover ourselves. The Christian life, if it is lived well, brings us to the end of who we are as people, stretches us to our limits, because it's lived, Jesus said, by picking up our crosses, by denying ourselves, and seeking to find the identity of a disciple in Christ. As we take on that burden with Jesus, he promises to go with us. And Jesus goes before us, he comes after us in this great adventure. I thought of Stephen Curtis Chapman's song, "Saddle Up Your Horses, We Got a Trail to Blaze, to the Wild Blue Yonder of God's Amazing Grace." That was a song when I went to Bethel my freshman year, and they played it. I was like, yeah, Bethel's an adventure. I had no idea more adventures would wait for me as I followed Christ. So Advent is all about adventure. Advent is all about the arrival and the coming of something unexpected and something new into the world. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous before God, says verse 6, living blamelessly. That's important. They were living blameless lives. They were living righteously. Not just righteously in their own eyes, but righteously according to the commandments, it says, and the regulations of the Lord. But then there's that word, but. They were living righteous, but. They were living blameless, but. Something was bothering them. Something was a thorn in their side. Something stood in their way of achieving what they thought would be God's blessing. What we will see today is that Zechariah and Elizabeth provide us a helpful outline for our approach to Advent. They are a model of how to receive. They are a model in good and bad ways of how to perceive and recognize the arrival of the Savior. In order to receive Jesus, the gift of God to all humanity, we must realize that we are all like them, Zechariah and Elizabeth. The news had to be bad before it could be good news. They were barren. They were terrified. Zechariah and Elizabeth were not ready to receive the message. They were silent, and they were waiting. And those things aren't bad in and of themselves, and there's a right and a wrong way to do each and every one of those things. Barrenness, let me just say, is no fault of any woman's or any man's, but in the eyes of our author, barrenness totally was within the power of God to reverse. It is God's choice. It is God's fault, according to our authors, according to the biblical authors. And some of us have really difficult emotions. I want to lay that out there about barrenness. Barrenness has its effects on us emotionally. There is, again, in the Bible, in the biblical text, a good way and a bad way to do all these things. Let's read Luke 1, verse 5. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So Luke has chosen to put this story at the very front of his gospel. At the very, very front. Luke just finished the introduction. Now he's going to put a story about this righteous man and this righteous woman barren. Barren. Luke posits a problem from the very first verses of this text. And these folks, again, these folks are righteous. They're blameless. In fact, they are like royalty. If you are of the line of Aaron, and if you are of the line of Abijah, and you are a priest, you are in that hereditary line that says, God has blessed this particular line to bless me, to bless the world. And if they don't procreate, then God's blessing can't go out to the world. They were royalty of sorts. They were well-placed in society, but they were barren. People with lineages see lineage as a precious thing. No children, no passing on. But there is a precious theological idea that Luke invokes here in the beginning of his story. Even the most righteous, deserving of all Israel, even the most righteous and blameless person, chance and misery afflict them too. Hard stuff happens to even the best of people. They were righteous, but they were barren. Let me skip forward back to the... They were righteous, but they were barren. Barrenness was a sign that something was wrong. For a woman, it can lead to immense shame and pressure to have children. Barrenness is a great tester of faith. Who remembers the story of Abraham and Sarah? Who remembers the story of Isaac and Rebekah, Hannah and Elkanah, many others in the biblical story? The emptiness of a womb, and I don't say this lightly, the emptiness of a womb is like the emptiness of a stocking. The emptiness of a womb is like the emptiness of a stocking. We hope, we have expectation, we wait upon the Lord to fill that stocking with something special and something good and something right. But we wait. We wait. And this is the emotion that Elizabeth feels. This is the disgrace that she feels. She's doing everything right. But somehow, some way, the gift has not yet come, and now she is old in age. We're dealing with real barrenness, not just for Elizabeth, but for all of Israel. See, their people had come under subjugation by Rome. Their people had been tormented by their oppressors. They didn't have a government. They didn't have representation. They were taxed more than 50% in those days. They were poor. They were trying to make it. Their lives were like a barren womb. They were righteous, but they were also terrified. Let's read verse 8. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. When the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. So Zechariah was a priest. And here in Luke, verses 8 through 12, Luke describes the daily services that would go on in the temple. In the Babylonian Talmud, it was described that the priests are to put on a service called Olam Tamid, the fire of sacrifices, each morning and each night. And the priests were to be chosen by lot to serve all night long in preparation for those sacrifices that would be ultimately a blessing of the people and a conferring upon the people of their holiness and goodness in the sight of God. So this time when Zechariah goes in, what could have prepared him for what he saw? He was the man, the priest, chosen to prepare things for others. Yet he himself was not prepared for what he saw. You would think doing the Lord's work day in and day out as a priest, he would be prepared. You would think that angels in the Lord's temple would kind of seem par for the course. You're at the temple, after all, the very portal to heaven. There's Zechariah, who is righteous, who is faithful, is terrified. Read verse 13 there. The angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine, another fermented drink." That's a vow of a Nazarene. Very holy, very set apart, a particular individual here that John will be. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he was born. That's the sign of a prophet. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. And here's the line. He will make people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah was not prepared. The Lord was preparing Zechariah for the one who would prepare. And we learned about John 2 weeks ago that he was the one who would say, "It is not I, but the one who comes after me. I simply prepare the way for the one." Zechariah was terrified at the presence of this angel. I think any one of us would be. Any one of us would be. But are we ready? Are we prepared? See, we're on the other side of this deal. We got John the Baptist. We got Jesus. Are we prepared this season to accept Jesus? Are we prepared to see Jesus? Are we prepared to receive the message that God has for us this season? Are we, church? Amen. Are we? Say amen if you are. If you're ready, or if you're trying, say amen. There you go. Let's read 18. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this?" Okay, Zechariah, you're talking to an angel. He appeared suddenly. How can I be sure of this? See, Zechariah, he's still doubting. He's still doubting, even in the face of the presence of an angel who is the messenger of God. Zechariah's stubbornness is just like our stubbornness. Are you sure? Are you sure? How can I be sure? The angel says, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which come true at their appointed time." See, Zechariah was unprepared to hear the good news. His answer reflects the same of that of Abraham, even of Sarah and others who have heard this news in the past. Remember, they laughed. They laughed. But Zechariah, still not believing, he knew the story of Abraham. He knew the story of Rebekah and Isaac. He knew the stories. He knew that God had the power to do this. And he knew that whenever God did this, it meant something good was about to happen. Zechariah was righteous, but unprepared. Zechariah was righteous, but now silent. Behold, the power of God to silence a pastor, a priest, someone who's supposed to talk a lot and know a lot. The power of God to humble Zechariah. Zechariah was supposed to turn around out of that temple and go and stand on the steps and proclaim a blessing to the people. He was now not going to be able to do that. Listen, meanwhile, the people in verse 21 were waiting for Zechariah. What's he doing? Where is he? What's going on? Did he keel over? Did he die? He's kind of an older guy. Imagine what's going through their minds, going through their thoughts. They're wondering why he stayed so long. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. So again, he's supposed to come out according to the Tamid, according to the Talmud, according to the instructions of worship, and say the blessing over the people. He was supposed to say, "God bless you and keep you. God smile and show his favor upon you. God, may God look at you full in the face," one translation says out of Numbers, "and make you prosper." He was supposed to pronounce that blessing over the people, but couldn't. Moses said, by doing that, the priest places God's name on the people. And then it's confirmed by them. So here's Zechariah, chosen by lot, like dice, almost like dice, chosen by lot to do this very specific duty, a very high privilege, is unable to complete his work. Unable to complete his work. The Tamid also included psalms, so the services in the morning and evening would remind and bless the people. Listen to Psalm 31, which is included in some of the Tamid instructions. But I trust you, O Lord, Psalm 31:14. I say you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Do not let me be put to shame, O Lord. Can you hear Elizabeth praying this? Don't let me be put to shame, O Lord. For I call on you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go dumbfounded to Sheol or to the grave. And here, let the lying lips be stilled that speak insolently against the righteous with pride and contempt. Zechariah's, the irony here is Zechariah, the one who is to give this blessing, his lips were sealed. His lips were silenced for the moment, so that God could teach him something, so that God could humble Zechariah. They are righteous, but they are waiting. They are righteous when he was waiting. When his time of service was completed, he returned home, and after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. She said, "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace amongst the people." Zechariah and Elizabeth were barren. They were terrified. They were unprepared. They were silent and now waiting. We won't get Advent, church, unless we realize that we are like Zechariah and Elizabeth. We may come to church, but we probably still feel empty because we have unconfessed things in our lives. We come to church, but the fear of God, maybe didn't do so well with that this week. We are unprepared for the Word of God to penetrate our hearts because we haven't sought God. We stay silent about worship, even praising God, or silent about injustice and evil in the world. And we, like Zechariah and Elizabeth, are waiting too. This week, take a sock, put it somewhere to remind you. God wants to put a gift inside of your life. God wants to speak to you a word that will lift you out of the miry clay. God wants to put a word in you that he gave to Elizabeth, and he gave to Mary, and he gave to Hannah, and he gave to Rachel, and he gave to Sarah. God wants a family. And this Christmas, God will get a family. Jesus Christ, the Son, will be born. The gift is about to arrive. Are you prepared? Are you ready to receive that which God is giving? That's what Advent is. And it's an adventure. And it will take you to the deepest and darkest places that we have gone today. It will take you there, but God is sure, and his promises never fail. Next week, we will talk about the preparation of peace. If we, too, are barren, if we realize just how barren we are, how much we need God, if we realize how much we're afraid of following God and speaking out, we realize just how unprepared we are to receive this gift, we're going to want to get preparing. We're going to want to start to prepare. Let's do that this Christmas as we look forward to December 25th. Let's pray. Holy God, you are amazing, wonderful, more wonderful than what we could comprehend, more wonderful than what even Zechariah, the priest who was righteous and faithful, could comprehend. Or we too are in that same basket often. We too are unprepared. We too are not willing to even entertain the angels. So Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts. You would open our minds, open our eyes to see the gift that is placed there this Christmas season. In your name we pray, amen.
Can see a star shine, and its splendor fills up the sky. It's the same that appeared and the wise men revered when hope was born this night. Out upon the snowy fields, there's a silent peace that heals, and it echoes the grace of our Savior's embrace. Because hope was born this night. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward all. Let all of the world sing a chorus of joy, because hope was born this night. I can hear the Christmas bells ring, softly a church choir sings. It's the song used to praise the ancient days when hope was born this night. There are angels in this place, and my heart resounds in the praise. Like a shepherd so scared, I'll rejoice and declare that hope was born this night.
Go in the promise that awaits you. The thing that is in the future empowers you for the now. Go with that promise in mind. Go with the promise and the assurance that Zechariah didn't have, that he couldn't see yet. You have it. It's in you. Christ, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.